All right, guys, how we doing? Wow, that bad? All right, guys, how we doing? Oh, wow. Are we, what? Sintastic? I thought you said sintastic. I was like, well, I guess you're in the right place. So, man, I am so excited. We got some awesome stuff coming up here. But we have, go ahead and get set up here. We have a, every week of Go Global. This is our last week of Go Global. And I'm so excited. Not only is this our last week of Go Global and we get to conclude a series that has just been amazing. And who here at some point during the series was just like really touched? Like God rocked you, whether it was something that you had no clue about how people around the world operate and in what's going on all around the world spiritually, or whether God was convicting you of something. And I want to say, today you will have an opportunity, if you have heard a call, or if you have felt like maybe you need to pursue or go into looking at doing mission work, and becoming a missionary, and you don't know, but that's something that maybe you've been feeling on your heart, you'll have an opportunity to respond to that call later today. But what we've been doing, we've been going kind of in this direction through the through Eurasia, is what it is. We got it. Look at this. These guys are studs. Killing it here. So we started out over here in Arab world. Remember that? And then moved over to Central Eurasia. Who did we have talk about Arab world? Starts with an M and rhymes with Ajid. Majid. Yes. Very good. There you go. And then we had Central Eurasia. From Tajikistan, we had... starts with a J, ends with a J. Yes. JJ. I see. You guys are getting good at this. And then over here, we had Southeast Asia. That was just last week. Pam came and talked, and we had Pastor Rocky, remember? And now today, we are talking about India, the last section. And this is one of the largest countries in the world. And we have someone who's coming, who came all the way from India just to talk to us about this. That's a slight exaggeration, but it's also a little bit prophetic. Can you guys please give a huge hand for Miss Jenny Kunath?
Thank you. That is exaggeration. I live in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm sorry. But I am, well, I was born in India. If I can use this to just keep my stuff. Oh, is that where? Oh, okay. There you go. Please let me know if my accent is something you cannot understand. I can slow down. And well, I'm Jenny Kunath, and I was born in India, and that's my country. I think I still have the Indian passport, so I'm still Indian. So there, that's to you, Pastor Drew. So I'm still from India. India is, well, you can see the subcontinent of India is quite large right here. The thing about India that most people don't know is that it's called India, but it's just like a lot of little mini countries. So we'll just have a peek into that if we can just go ahead and pray just before, because I'm a little nervous. So if we can just pray that I say the right things about India and you guys understand what I'm trying to say. All right. Father, we just thank you. Thank you that you are the Lord of the nations. Thank you that you are God and you want everyone to know who you are, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. That, Lord, there is no other name by which we can be saved but the name of Jesus. Lord, and this is our desire, Lord God, that there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, and we are citizens of the kingdom of light. And Lord, wherever we are, whoever we speak with, Lord God, and this is our desire, Lord God, that you be glorified, let your name be exalted, and let these young people, Lord, open their hearts, Lord God, lay upon them, Lord God, this desire, Lord God, to see every man, every woman they will meet, Lord God, come to the knowledge of Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, all right. I feel better. All right. Well, I have a bigger map of India. Can you see it? I don't know if I can put it up anywhere, but well, I don't know. Maybe you can't see it. Anyway, I'll just lay it out here so you can see. All right. There you go. Okay. So now, India has a large population. I think we've hit a billion, if I'm not mistaken. And most of India is Hindu in religion. And 84% is what the statistics say is Hindu. We have Buddhism and Muslim, which is the rest. And Christian, in the wide aspect of it, is 6%, which, and I think maybe 2% of that accounts for saved, which is like the statistically. But I believe a lot of people are coming to the Lord because they're not finding what they thought they would find in their religions. And that's exciting because they don't come because you go to church. They come because there have been people who go there as light. And that's been exciting. Now, when I say that, I want you to know that every state that you see, every different color is a state. And each state, that's 29 states, and each state speaks a different language, has a different food, and has different cultural aspects. So it's very different from state to state. The state that I live in is right here. It's called Kerala, and we speak Malayalam. It's a tongue twister. And the state next to us is called Tamil Nadu, and that speaks a completely different language and food type. And it's and the whole of India is, actually, even when you're in India, there's, you know, we call each other North Indians and South Indians. We kind of differ in that too, because the north of India, more of them have the Muslim influence that came from Persia, the Mughal Empire. So they have a lot of commonalities that way, and they speak Hindi predominantly. And the south of India, our food type and all that is a lot different from the north. So even in India, we had the North Indians and the South Indians. So it was different in that when I was growing up in the south of India, I didn't know too much about the north of India. So when you speak about India, it's really vague and large. But when it comes down to individuals, everybody is still seeking the Lord. And there is so most of the cities is where the urban population is all around the cities. And most of India is not urban. It's rural and it's farming. And people try to get away from that into the cities. So the cities are overly crowded and people live in slums is what you see in pictures of India usually. But India is more than that. It's got people, a lot of the people have faith. They're very spiritual. Just that in the wrong God. They don't know who they're looking for. And they're full of faith. In fact, in India, anything happens, the first thing they do is pray. So if you tell them, I'm willing, you know, do you want to pray? They're willing to pray because they will embrace Jesus as one of their gods. And they have about 3,000 deities. So it's okay to add one more, though he's on the cross. And they don't get it. You know, all their gods are bejeweled and with a lot of jewelry. And Jesus, I mean, most of what they've seen of Jesus is the Catholic, the cross with, you know, a scrawny man with just a little cloth on him. And I've been asked that. I think your God looks like he needs saving, you know. He needs help to come down that cross. What is he going to do for me? Because it's about blessing, it's about health, it's about prosperity that they're looking for. It's usually peace is a derivative of that, is what they believe. Where the Lord comes to give us peace first. So they're willing. So there's a lot of poor people. So now the people who are poorer are the ones who realize, hey, I don't have anything. I don't have all this. So Jesus seems very true to them. I mean, it seems like he is the one who will give them peace because nothing else can. So a large majority of the rural, the poorer population come to the Lord really quickly. And so sadly, the government that we have in India right now is very pro-Hindu, and they want to make India a Hindu nation fully with no Christianity, no Islam, nothing allowed. By 2020, they say we will be Hindu altogether. And in fact, as of now, we have a lot of missionaries who've come to India and have been sent back right at the airport. So that's, gone is the time that you could go to India, you know, freely and preach the word for what it is. Many people come still as teachers, as individuals who want to really interact with people. And then, you know, they let their guards down a bit, and there's still people who come. Now, being a Christian in India, growing up, I grew up in an Orthodox church, which is pretty much like Catholic, I would say. And I came to Christ when I was 16. And so I don't remember ever making that distinction that, okay, she's Hindu, she's Muslim, I'm Christian. I don't think we had that problem. When I came to Christ, though, my excitement was like, oh my goodness, I found Christ. So it was just a whole different Jesus that I knew. So so when I come to Christ and then I speak about Jesus, then people get a little scared. then they're wary of who you bring, because there is power in the name of Jesus. And there is, in India, I know Kerry's mentioned that before, that it's very spiritualized. Everything you can sense, like you would have a church in every corner of the street here, we have a temple, or more than one temple at every street corner. And they take their religion very seriously. It's very, very serious. In the mornings, you have the Muslim call in the, and the bells go off for the different rituals that they do. So they're very spiritual in those terms. And so it's the name of Jesus, really, you figure that brings resistance. There's immediate resistance. Yes, and so now I know Drew said that, Pastor Drew said there aren't as many missionary women that get to speak here. I am not missionary, but I believe that each one of you sitting here and me are called to be missionary. So we all have a job to do. In India, I feel like the women have a better chance of being able to share the gospel, just because women are willing to speak. They're willing to lay down their guard and speak with you. We all have the same problems, really. All humankind, we just have the same problems. And when you say, this is what Christ has done for me in this, they're willing to hear you. And when you relate with them and that Jesus is the only one who can get us through this, they're willing to hear. So I don't know what else we may be looking for. I'm good if there's anything else.
Do we have any questions? Who's got questions about India? Because I think this is one of the things that stood out to me is the spiritual, when we think of someone who's spiritual, we often think of someone who's Christian. And spiritual means something completely different. Someone who's spiritual has not, and especially in India, has nothing to do with Christianity, has everything to do with obeying false deities. Yet the thing that no matter where I go, and everybody who speaks come and shares the same thing. And I don't know if you've heard this, but that almost every person has said, but there's power in the name of Jesus. Have you heard that? Every time someone has come up and spoken, and they've said, and this is fine, and this is kind of the way that you get into a conversation with someone, and then when you mention Jesus, that's when the power comes, and that's when something happens, and that's when the conversation shifts. I really want to pray over India. Can we have someone who would want to pray over India here real quick. Just come up, lead a 1 to 2 minute prayer over India. Come on up, Elizabeth. There you go. Give her a hand.
God, I just pray over India, Lord, that you would just pour out your spirit and you would lay a calling on the hearts of teenagers in this room, of people in this room, to be called to go to India, to build, to more than just to tell the gospel, but to build community in relationships with people, to do life with them, and to call the people of India to be your children, Father God. I pray for revelation of your truth in India, Father God. I pray for your power, the power of the name of Jesus in India, Father God. Father God, move, Jesus. Break down walls and build relationships that will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jenny. There you go. Amen. Amen. I love it. This is so cool. So she had mentioned this a little bit, and I had understood wrong, and I was like, I'm so excited to have a lady as a missionary come up. And she's like, I'm not technically a missionary, but we all are. She was right in that. But the reason why is because since the Assemblies of God, this church is a part of a denomination called the Assemblies of God. And since it was started as a missions organization. Let's send people out to the world, all over the place. And that's how church planting got started and how Assemblies of God churches started. And so it wasn't a church movement, it was a mission movement before anything. So that's just like the spirit over this church, over this movement, over everything. It's all about missions. And the cool thing, from the very beginning, guess what percentage of missionaries were female? Since the very beginning. Huh? 16? 5? 2, 67. Two-thirds of missionaries have been women. Isn't that awesome? It is I think that is so cool. It is like, I think maybe it's like these powerful women, you know, couldn't find their rights in the United States, and they're like, I'm going to flip and go wherever I flip and want, and I'm going to do something for Jesus, because you guys can't stop me from doing that. And I love it. In fact, still today, two-thirds of the missionaries out there are women. And so though we have had a lot of men come up here and talk about this, I want to empower you ladies in here. There is nothing that you can't do. There is nothing that you can't be. Don't look at these things and go, oh, that's a guy's job. In fact, there was a young lady when we were in Istanbul, and her name was Kimberly, and she felt a call to missions, and she always assumed that with this call, she would marry a strong, mission-minded husband, and she would just follow him wherever he went and did whatever he wanted to do. And she was okay with that, and she had submitted, and that's awesome. But then she started dating this guy, and he's like, she told him his call, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I could do that. Yeah, I could do that. And so then she gets ready to go on this 3-month mission trip, and he's getting ready to go. And he's like, you know what? Actually, no, I don't want to go on this. And she's like, well, I'm going. And he's like, well, I got a ring. Like, what are you going to pick? And yeah. And so she goes and she leaves a potential fiance. For the mission field. Isn't that crazy? And she goes, and so what does she do? She steps into translating. She knows Spanish. She's doing translating for Compassion International. People write letters to their kids, in their Compassion kids in Guatemala, places like that. She translates it and then translates it back, sends it back. And that's what she's doing. And she's like, well, I guess this is my capacity since I can't get married, and I'm getting too old, I'm not finding anybody here, and so darn it. And what happened is one day someone goes out. One of these teams came over to, and they're hosting a missionary team from the States. They come over. Someone swims out into the ocean. They get pulled away in a riptide. Two of the girls come back. One of the girls gets stuck out there. And Kimberly's a good swimmer, so she goes out. She finds her, and this young lady is like, I'm going to drown. I'm going to die. She's sure of it. And when Kimberly comes over, what she says is, she says, the waves are too hard. The girl says this. She says, they're too hard. Save yourself. Just leave. Like, I'm gone. And Kimberly said, no way, no way. And so she grabs her and she starts instructing her how to fight through the waves, to dive underneath them. And she says, this is the only time in my entire life where I thought, I'm going to die. I really genuinely think I'm going to die. She's like, I've swam in the oceans for such a long time. But today, the waves, she said, it was so weird. When you'd go under, the waves would just crash around you and you'd have no clue which way was up or which way was down. And you would just swim until you would either hit sand or you'd hit air. And if you hit sand, you jump up and you get the air. And they end up getting to shore, and a couple days later, God speaks to her and he says, Kimberly, would you do that again? She's like, oh, that was scary, but I'm the best swimmer on our team. Of course, I couldn't just stand there and watch this happen. And he said, how much more important is a soul than a life? How much more important is a soul than a life? And that's when he called her to find a live dead team. And that's how she ended up in Istanbul as a missionary, where she goes, I may be single for the rest of my life. I don't know. But she says, I've given that up to God. And that's something that I've dreamt about from when I was little, just like every other girl. But I've given that up to God. And this is something where I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it for him. I find that so honorable. Women, ladies, don't let anything hold you back. Don't let anything hold you back, okay? So, I love God. He's doing good things. I haven't even started on the sermon yet, and he's already got things rolling. Let's go. So, we've been gone through 4 weeks of Go Global. And what this idea has been, we've covered 4 different things. I'm going to fly through this as quickly as possible. We've talked about, the first week we talked about, what's the problem? Remember the state of the world, the video that we watched. What's a UPG? What does UPG stand for? Unreached people group. It's a group of people that, and a people group is like, I come over here to Madison and I'm like, hey, Jesus. She's like, awesome. I like these people, so I'll tell them about Jesus, but none of us like these people. And so we won't ever tell them about Jesus. And so the gospel can spread over here, but just because it's spreading in South India doesn't mean it's going to spread in any other state of India, because language, cultural barriers are going to naturally prevent that. And so that's why you look at people groups, not countries, if that makes sense. So why UPG? Why do we keep talking about this? Because it's about access. Reach out to your friends here where you're at. Yes, but every day on their way to school, to the grocery store, everywhere they go, they pass by churches. They see the Bible app advertised on their phone. They see Christian billboards. They see Christian advertisements on TV. You have an influence over their life, and there are people in the world that have none of that, where there are 0% Christians. There are less than 2% Christians, and you think about your closest friends, and how many people would you be open enough to sharing your faith with? You'd have to get up to 100 to find 2 people like that. That you'd be able to actually share your faith with. And so that's the problem, that there are people all around the world. Specifically, this is the 1040 window. You'll hear that a lot for unreached people groups. The 1040 window, where people don't know Jesus and don't have the ability to even access him if they wanted to. It's nuts. So that's the problem. That was week one. Week two, you are called, is what we talked about. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, all people groups, all different types of people. He wasn't talking about countries and whatever the heck political nations look like in 2,000 years. That's not what he was talking about. The idea is to live radically. You, every single person that says yes to Jesus, is taking on this call as well. To go after the people who don't have the hope that you have received. You are called to be, just like Jenny said, a missionary where you're at. And then week three says you can do it. Remember us talking about A plus B equals C? Remember that? What's A? God blesses you. What's B? What's C? Yes. God blesses you. You bless others. God is blessed. God is glorified. That's it. Awesome. And that's our purpose. When God blesses you, when you get something that's like, holy smokes, this is amazing. I love this. How are you going to use that? How are you going to bless other people with what you have been given? Also, this is huge. God empowers you, not just with the gifts and the blessings he's given you, but with the Holy Spirit, to do something bolder, to do something more powerful, to do something supernatural that you could never do, only he can do. We've already experienced some of the supernatural today. I believe we're going to be experiencing a lot of the supernatural this weekend, where God's going to be intervening into our lives, and the Holy Spirit is going to allow for things to happen. So we talked, what's the problem? You are called. If you're called, then what do? You bless people and you bless God. You glorify God through it by the power of Jesus. And then last week talked about Jesus is worth it. And Ms. Pam came up and was, and Pastor Rocky, and they're talking about how Jesus is worth it. And they're talking, guys, persecution is everywhere. In this 1040 window, almost all of these countries experience persecution. Christians in these countries, in fact, this is a stat I just read today, that on average, 322 Christians are martyred every month for their faith, while millions more suffer persecution on a routine basis. They're killed because of their faith. 322 a month on average. We live in a time where persecution is higher than ever throughout all of history. You can't tell me that it doesn't exist. Man, it's crazy, the world that we live in, the bubble that we live in, that's so completely different. And what are these martyrs crying out as the people coming against them? What are they saying? They're saying Jesus is worth it. They're saying, it doesn't matter what happens to me, Jesus is worth it. And it's crazy what God is doing all around the world, and what we don't get, because it's so easy to be a Christian here. Our fears are that what if someone thinks we're weird? Not what if someone sees me and tells the secret police about where I live. The cost that they go through. Just read a story last week about a woman whose husband beat her, shaved her head, kicked her out of the house because he found that she had a Bible and she wouldn't give it up. And he set it on fire. She saved what she could of it, and she used the burned remnants of it to read whatever she could, but she would not give it up. The power that Jesus has, that she realizes of Jesus that we don't. How easy would it be to say, all right, fine, that's my Bible, take it, whatever. It's crazy. We live in a different world here. So the big idea throughout this whole series, if we can throw that up on the screen, is that there is no greater need. There is no greater need that this world has than the lost. The lost who are condemned to live a life and spend an eternity without the hope and love of a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no greater need. You can save a life, and what that does is it just delays a death. But if you save a soul, it changes eternity. The quote starts with, "There is no greater need." If we can throw that up. Go global is this idea. This idea. And we talked about how everybody is called. You're called to be a missionary where you're at. But here's another thing. This is a quote by Dick Brogdon. He says, every Christian is responsible for the unreached. Every Christian. Why? Because Matthew 28, if we said it applies to you, Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Matthew 28, go to all the nations. You are not only called to your home, your world, though that's what we focus on when we talk about engaging. We say engage your world with the powerful love of God. Yes, you're also called to engage the world, the whole world. Every Christian is responsible for the unreached. We are not all called to pioneer on the front lines. We're not all called to go. That's a specific call that God will give to people, to pioneer on the front lines, to actually be a missionary. But we are called to see that someone does. We are called to use our hands, our hearts, our minds, our talents, and our strengths to that end goal of worship to God among all nations. Among all nations. Dick Brogdon started Live Dead. Dick Brogdon is and he's come here to preach, and so powerful. But this is this message. Everybody, and this is the big idea. This is the big idea. Everybody must go global. How will you? How will you go global? How are you gonna go? Because anybody... Absolutely anybody. It doesn't matter how broken you are. It doesn't matter what you do or don't have. Anybody can go. You can go in one of three ways. First way, how will you go global? First way, pray consistently. Pray consistently. Give of your heart and pray. And these are a couple different ways. I want you, at the end of this service, you're going to be able to pick one of these three ways. What are you going to do? How are you going to go global? One of three ways. Pray consistently. You would find a missionary or an area of the world or a country or a people group that you can pray over. You can pick one of these people groups in the back, but you find a missionary or an area you can pray over. Over in these areas, what you pray for is you pray for the lost. 1 Timothy 2 said, 2 through 3, that verse. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4. Man, my tongue is not working right now. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. God's desire is that everyone would be saved. Pray that. Pray for the lost. Pray for the church, the people, the Christians, the missionaries, the believers, the converts that are there to boldly proclaim his name. This is crazy. In Acts 4, what's going on is the church is experiencing some of the first persecution of this era of persecution that we're in. And what do? They say, hey, We're experiencing this, and the government's coming against us, and they want to attack us. They want to kill us. They literally are lighting humans as a torch to light the streets at night. Christians. That's what they're doing, and that's what's going on. And it says, now, Lord God, this is their prayer. Hear their threats and give us your servants. What would you pray for? Stop there. What would you pray for? Give us freedom. Destroy them, stop them, cancel this, cut it off. What do they pray for? Give us, your servants, boldness in preaching your word. Whew. That's crazy. That's what they pray for. What kind of faith is that? That's nuts. That's insane. And it says, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. This is what they pray. Isn't that crazy? I'm being beat. My friend, my father, my cousin have been murdered. Give me boldness so that I would not back down. This is what the church is going through. We need to pray for boldness. Ephesians 6:20. This is Paul writing. He says, I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I'll keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. It's this theme throughout Scripture that the Holy Spirit would empower the persecuted church, that the Holy Spirit would embolden the persecuted church, that the Holy Spirit would provide fruits in an avenue for the church to grow amidst the persecution even more. That's the prayer, even greater than that the persecution would stop. Pray for the church. Then pray for the sent. Matthew 9, 36 through 38. I love this passage. I love this passage. Jesus is preaching and he looks out. He says he looks out into the crowds and there's thousands of people out there. And it says when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Because they were confused and helpless. They had no clue where they were going. They didn't know what they were doing. It's the same idea. When you see this, think that. These crowds, they're lost. They're seeking. They want to find truth, but they don't know where it is. Jesus turns to his disciples in this. Jesus is a passionate, passionate man. God is passionate. And I just imagine that he turns to his disciples, tears welling up in his eyes, and he says, look, do you see this? The harvest is so great. There's so much out there. There's so much need out there. And look, there's 12 of us. There's 13 of us. There's so few workers. The harvest is great. The workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Pray that. If you're going to pray consistently. How will you go global? Pray consistently. Pray for the lost. Pray for the church. Pray for the sent. Another way to go global, give sacrificially. Give sacrificially. And the idea, man, we don't understand much about sacrifice, but we are called as people in our small group just this Sunday, we talked about giving sacrificially and what that looks like and how hard that can be and what does the Bible say about it. And you give abundantly. You give until it hurts. You give until it costs you something. Right? That's hard. Give sacrificially to the mission. We'll talk about tithing, give 10%. That's essentially God saying, give back to me what's mine. The first 10% is God's. If you don't tithe, the Bible says you're robbing God. And so it's not talking about that 10%. It's talking about above and beyond 10% of what you earn. That can be sacrificial. That can be going, man, for the rest of my life, I want to live on 80% of what I make. I want to live on 70% of what I make, and I want to give the rest. That's sacrificial living, sacrificial giving, and make it regular. Give sacrificially, not just this week, for the rest of your life. That's how you can go global. Go global. Give, find a missionary, find a support that you can give regularly to, whether you're supporting a specific missionary, whether you're given to missions here at Good News. Did you know if you give to mission, it's hard sometimes to find a missionary or a mission organization that's like really, really good to give your money to. But guess what? Good News has a lot of them. And if you give just to the missions department, if you give and just say missions on your envelope, then what's going to happen is a lot of those places have been filtered through. There's people that have come from Good News Church out to be missionaries, and it goes to them. And it's so cool. That's a great way. Another way that you can do it is get a compassion child. Right? Adopt a child from compassion. And there's other adopt a child opportunities out there. How can you give sacrificially? And then pray consistently, give sacrificially. Third one, serve globally. What this is, and this is the biggest call, this is the boldest call, and the band will come up. This is for those of you who are feeling a call to go. Not just a call to give, not just a burden to pray, but a call to go and serve. And what I want here is I don't want to say this that you have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're called to missions. I want to give those of you an opportunity who feel, I wonder if this is maybe where God's tugging on my heart. And I want to explore it. I just want to test the waters. And that's what's so cool. We have a missions process here. We have a missionary process that Pam's developed that we have. We can throw the missions process up on the screen. And what it is, it's just ways to kind of test the waters and go on a short-term mission trip and then go on a longer-term one for a couple months and then go on a two-year one. And at any point in time, you can go, I get it. This is for me. Or, man, you know what? This is something that I may have to surrender, or this is something that just unfortunately won't be able to work out. It's not a call that's on me. I have a different call in my life. But the goal, if I have one thing that I walked away from Istanbul, I went to Istanbul. We went with a Live Dead team. They're in this region. They're right here. They're right here. And they're reaching out to these unreached people groups, and there's almost no Christians there. And the one thing that I got from these missionaries is I said, God, I want for where you have me to be based, not on fear, not on comfortability, but on calling. I don't want to be in Omaha, Nebraska because it's comfortable here. I want to be in Omaha, Nebraska because I'm called here. And God, if you're calling me, if you're calling anybody in here, God, to go to China, to go to India, to go to Thailand, to go to Iraq, to go to Turkey, to go to Algeria, to go to Afghanistan, whatever you want, God, may it be based on calling, not comfortability. Calling, not comfortability. And that is, that's this. If God is calling you, if you think he might be calling you, this will be your opportunity to respond. So what we're going to have up at the altar here, we're going to have three different places. We can pull up the three ways to go global one more time. If you go, I want to pray consistently. Anybody can do this. So actually, I'm going to start over here. If you feel a call to go, to explore maybe becoming, what would it be like to become a missionary, to go on a mission trip? I'm going to come over here. If you go, man, I can't or I don't feel called to do that, then I'll encourage you to give. Give sacrificially. And come here in the middle and go, man, I'm gonna give financially to go global. I'm going to send my monies overseas to unreached people groups. And if you can't do that, if you can't go, if you can't give, then pray. I want everybody to commit to this. I want everybody to say, I will pray consistently. I will pray for unreached people groups. I will go through the Live Dead journal. I will pray over what God's doing in different parts of the nation. I'll pray over the 1040 window. I'm gonna pray for the lost. I'm gonna pray for the church. I'm gonna pray for the sent. I'm gonna pray for these things so that the rest of this can actually happen. If we want to see any of these things happen, it starts there. And so if everybody will stand up, I'm gonna pray. And wherever you're going to go global, wherever you're going to be, I want to encourage you. Pray. Give. Serve. come up and find a spot at the altar. Come on up. If you feel a call, if you feel a conviction to give, feel a burden to pray, I want you to come up right now. And I just want for us to pray into this. I just want for us to pray into this. And leaders, if I could get leaders all around here. And actually, Tommy, Kritzia, if I could get some of these handed out here, spread around the stage, what you're going to get here. Go ahead and grab one on the stage here. It's I Will Go Global by. And it's your commitment. We aren't going to take it. This is for you. How are you going to go? How are you going to go global? How are you going to remember this day? You can sign it. You can write a date on it. Whatever you want to do. And then at the bottom it says, I will do this by. So if it's praying consistently, if God has a specific people group, a specific area to pray over, write that down. Grab a pen from one of the pouches and write it down. If it's giving sacrificially, then guys, write down what are you going to do? Where are you going to start giving? Are you going to get a compassion child? How are you going to do that? Serving globally. What's first step? What are you going to do? What conversations are you going to have first? What is it going to be? Right now, we're just going to enter into a time of prayer and worship. And leaders, I want you to come pray. Everybody, I want to make sure everybody grabs one of these. If you don't have one of these up front, come on up and grab one of them and jot it down. This is your reminder. This is for you. This is just for you. God, I pray over every person in this room. God, you have called us to live beyond ourselves. You have called us to stop living for ourselves. It's not about us. It's about them so that you will be glorified. God, I pray that every person in this room, that we would start to go global in our lives. How are we going to go? How are we going to go? God, I pray that you would cement this call in the lives of each person in here. God, for those who are committing to pray, God, would you give them fervent prayers? God, would you make their prayer closet catch on fire for what you're doing throughout the world in your kingdom? God, for those who are giving sacrificially, God, I pray that you put this commitment on their heart for years and years and years to come, that as they give, that you bless them financially. As they give, that you bless them, and you continue the cycle. Continue the cycle, God, I call blessing, financial blessing, as they continue to be faithful. And Lord, over the called to serve, Lord, would you bless them? Would you surround them? Would you cover them? Would you guide them? Their conversations, their sacrifices, their surrender, where they're going, the decisions that they're making right here, right now. Right here, right now. Lord, I pray covering over each person in this room. We will go.